So, welcome to Anime Talk. Ariel, try to introduce yourself.
I am here. Can y'all hear me? Someone, right now, in the next 2 seconds, respond on the social stream.
So, hopefully you can hear Ariel blip now. It's been one of those days, apparently, where we're just not getting our message across.
Oh, am I here? Okay, I'm sweet. All right, let's do this.
You're back?
I'm back, apparently.
I have no idea what happened. But anyways, we're back. It's Tuesday night. It's 11 o'clock. Let's get this shit going because we're already 10 minutes behind because apparently I can't operate a computer, I can't do simple math, and I can't tell time. So, Otakon is going west, Arrow.
Yes, that is right. Otakon is going west. For those of you who are unfamiliar, Otakon is Maryland-based, Baltimore, I believe. And they're essentially the biggest anime convention on the East Coast. These guys are so full of themselves. No, I'm kidding. These guys apparently say that they're popular enough that they're going to go west to Vegas. According to their website, I believe they said that it's going to be in the winter season. So January 2nd through 5th is what they're aiming for next year. I think that's what they said.
Okay.
I need to refer to their website. But yes, Vegas.
So are they trying to compete with Anime Expo then?
Well, that's the thing I've been curious about is that, well, first of all, if you look at, I guess, if you've been looking at the recent pattern, anime conventions have been trying to do a lot more as far as hype concern. They're getting a lot more bigger names. Companies like Aniplex of USA, they're contributing a lot more. And so maybe Vegas provides a new venue, another time to hype up the new season of anime, especially the winter season. And if you think about it as well, most of the anime conventions are usually like set in the spring and summer times. So Boston Annie, that's now in May. It used to be in April, but now it's in May. AX is in July. Otakon's also in June, July-ish. So, you know, January seems like a good time of year to do it, right?
And Vegas is actually really nice in January. It's much better to be there between, let's say, October and May than it is, April or, you know, May, you know, June through September. It is brutal down there.
Absolutely. Well, the fat, sweaty nerds, you know, they'll sweat less, essentially.
Oof. You'd find a bunch of dead fat people on the side of the road from heat exhaustion.
Well, I mean, that happens all the time.
So that's going to be interesting. You're a short drive from L.A. It just seems like they're kind of infringing on their turf, you know, AX's turf. So it'll be interesting to see how that all turns out.
Well, I mean...
But in a general sense, anime and manga sales within the United States have not grown significantly in the last 5 years.
See, that may be true, but I think the viewership as far as the digital distribution realm, that's growing bigger. So if anything, like, this is probably a good time to at least test the market to see how that works out. Essentially, like, if you're advertising, people will watch anime, and if they're not buying the Blu-rays or DVDs, they're most likely going through stream sources, like Crunchyroll, Viz Media, that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
so
everybody's got their own stream site, which is an argument for a whole nother day.
Exactly. And the point is, too, is that this is supposed to be a big drought. Like, think of like the video game industry, right? Most of the video games come out, like, essentially the end of August and then afterwards, you know, the Christmas sales.
Yep.
And then the summertime, there's not really many big games out there. So essentially, this is what Otakon's trying to do. There's an untapped, as far as seasonal-wise, market. So that's what they're going to go for.
Yeah. It's a good, like I said, good time of year to go. Vegas, finding a place to stay in Vegas is easy. Lots of
and the booze is cheap.
It used to be cheap.
Well, I mean, think about it. You go to the convention and then say you spend a couple hours in the casino. Yep. Free booze.
We can talk about how free the booze is later. But yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. We'll see how it all turns out.
Yep.
Madoka, the third film. Will it come out this summer?
That's sort of a kind of iffy thing. So recently there was an article, I'm not sure if it was leaked or not. There was an article in Smart Magazine, which is in Japan, saying that the Madoka third film was supposed to be coming out in the summer. Don't forget last year when the first two movies were coming out, they said that the third movie was supposed to be coming out in April.
Yeah.
That has not happened, clearly. It's still 2 months away, but there's been no talk about it. So a lot of speculation is that this was supposed to be coming out in the summertime. At least that's what the article hinted at. But then apparently today, I believe it was like an hour ago, it wasn't a retraction, so to speak, but there was a clarification saying that the third Madoka film would be in 2013, not in the summertime. Who knows? Who knows?
But it should. Basically, it should be out this year.
Yes, I mean, that's a given. But there's a lot of speculation as to what's going on. There's actually been a lot of news for this movie. If you think about it, like the first two movies, they're still in the United States. Well, I think Hawaii is doing their premiere soon.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's still generating some revenue. So maybe Aniplex is kind of holding off a little bit so that, like, they're trying to increase the viewership in the United States. But then in addition to that, there's also been a lot of stories, especially on 4chan, about, like, leaked stories and leaked images going out. So, like, Who knows? Like,
maybe it's just trying to build up some drama, build up some pre-release hype to try to see what they can get out of it.
I mean, if anything, if you release a screenshot, that's enough to like garner like the attention of like 100,000 fanboys.
Yeah.
So not to mention, this was done by like, this wasn't Shaft Studios saying it's coming out this summer. This was an article in a magazine. So then the magazine publisher themselves were like, they had to take a step back. So for all we know, this could have been just a simple misprint. It's too early to say now what it is, but my feeling when I put the, you know, the tinfoil hat on is that there's something brewing in the background. That's all I'll say.
All right. Next up. So we've talked about these guys before. Jossop on Deck.
He does
his little rap things that typically involve gaming, anime, nerd stuff, for lack of a better phrase. He might be going to AX.
Well, that's a bit stretching the truth. That headline is a bit misleading. My bad. I apologize.
No, I'm just playing it up.
Yes. So essentially, Jossop on Deck, the new otaku rapper that's hitting the scene. Recent titles include Anime Pussy, Moe Over Everything, which is a play on money over everything.
Yep.
Moshi Moshi. This guy is actually blew up on 4chan and blew up on YouTube. Is getting a lot of hype out there. And you know what? Like, there is a petition on change.org saying that they want Jossop on Deck to perform at Anime Expo. Their goal is to get 100,000 petitions, but right now I think they're currently standing at 10,000 petitions, which, considering how small our culture is, that's actually, I think that's significant in itself.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Jossop on Deck, this guy's fucking hilarious. Like, if anything, it would be interesting to have an 18-year-old black male just jumping around on stage at an anime
doing a rap concert about
a rap concert at an anime convention. Yes.
I think it's something, I don't know, as this becomes a more widespread thing, you know, as the anime, I don't know what you want to call it, the fan group grows, expands, its membership, diversity of its membership expands, you're going to get stuff like this. They either need to embrace it or just not ignore it, but just let it go because, you know, any sort of pushback against it is going to be only negative.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, he's just some weeaboo on YouTube who just had one hit, you know.
Yeah, but
he had a big hit.
I go back and look at how many views he's got now, but he was gathering a fair amount of views.
Six digits.
Yeah, easily six digits.
Okay, so yes, to be honest, like, the video effects aside, I think he's a showman. Like, I think he can play up the crowds. I don't know how much AX would pay him. That would probably be an issue in itself. Not to mention, I think currently he's underage, so that's also an issue as well.
That's true.
He's right now 17 years old, I believe. But if he's 18, I don't know. What if AX was to just say, here's a, we'll pay half of your plane ticket, and we'll give you a 3-night stay at this hotel. I think this kid would totally jump on it.
Heck, if they just paid his expenses, don't even pay him to do the concert, just paid his expenses to be there, it'd be enough.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if he brought some CDs and stuff, he could cover the rest of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's kind of funny if you kind of look at the recent trend of, like, if you imagine the history of AX. So in 2012, you get Calafina. Or no, sorry, 2011, you get Calafina. 2012, you get Lisa. 2013, Jossop on Deck.
It could be
oh,
cool,
how the
man.
Mighty have fallen.
It could be cool, though. It could be cool.
Yeah, let's see.
You know what? So this is not anime per se, but animation news. Paper Man, a short animation by Disney, won the Oscar for Best Short Animated Film. Now, I don't know if all of you guys have seen it, but if you haven't, go to YouTube, look it up. It is a fantastic black and white silent anime, in terms of the actors don't speak, silent animation.
Yeah. Essentially, it's like a...
What's that?
Go on.
I was going to fanboy over it. It's fantastic. I have my doubts about Disney for a lot of reasons, about their way. I mean, in the last 10 years, I can say that confidently the best things that Disney produced are products they bought to have produced for them. Pixar, for example. Pixar was bought by Disney, and they probably made the best animated films that Disney's had in the last 10 years, hands down. Disney doesn't, they just don't produce a good story themselves anymore. And this just blew me away. It was great.
Well, if anything, like, yes, it's a small, you know, romance story about a man who runs into a woman in the train, and then essentially he makes paper airplanes in order to attract her attention, hence the title Paper Man.
Yeah.
If anything, this is just a tech demo, but it's a well put together, brilliantly executed tech demo. Like,
it tells a complete story.
No, I mean, there is a beginning and an end. All I'm saying is it's very charming, but I'm more impressed by the technical aspects of it than the fact that I was amused for, you know, 5 minutes.
True, because they talked about – if you read some of the there was an article written on it about what the techniques they use and the software they use and how they're combining CGI with a very hand-drawn feel. And there's a lot of mumbo-jumbo behind it. But the end product was great. I loved it. Like I said, I watched some of the other ones. They were okay. This definitely deserved to win an Oscar.
Yes, Paper Man is definitely the best. But all I'm saying is, like, for those who don't realize, this is essentially, like, when you look at it, it looks like, you know, back to their traditional 2D animations. This is actually CGI. Yeah. Like, it's really interesting. So it's like, they do the CG models, and they do the movements, and, that's all done. You got your vectoring and all that stuff. But then there's, literally hand-drawn animations overlaid on top of that.
Yeah.
So that's what gives it the traditional look.
Yeah, it's cause, I don't know, I can't say much more other than you have to watch it to understand just how great it was.
It's fantastic.
So my two cents, just go watch it, fanboy on it with the rest of us, and hopefully we're seeing the beginning of a new drawing and storytelling era at Disney.
Well, for the record, Pixar is on the decline.
They haven't produced anything recently.
Well, I mean, no, there was Brave.
Brave wasn't great, you're right. But they've had a lot of hit or misses, though, in their... They've been very cyclical. How about that?
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, if you look at their current lineup, they're actually out of originals. They don't have any originals planned. Well, they're supposed to... I believe there's a Cars 3, and in addition to that, there's a Monsters, Inc. 2.
And hopefully an Incredibles 2 somewhere in there.
I've had enough of Ayn Rand. As much as I love Ayn Rand, I've had enough of Ayn Rand. So, you know... Who knows? Like, this could be the rise of Disney and kind of the step back of Pixar.
We'll see. Pixar is very cyclical. It takes for every 10 misses, you get one hit. I mean, it's that kind of world.
That sounds more like Disney than Pixar.
That's true. All right, next up here. Oh, Big Globe did a poll on most moving Anna songs. So here are the top 5 listed. From K-On, we had Tenshi Ni Fureta. I can't even say this crap.
No. This amuses me. Keep going, Joe.
I don't even like K-On. We have a K-On one, Anohana, Angel Beats, Air, and then, surprisingly, Guilty Crown at the end there.
Yeah, this list is pretty freaking weak. I'm not going to lie. It's so boring and lackluster. I actually used the word freaking instead of fucking.
And then going on from that, 6 was from that 6 and 7 were from Clannad After Story.
Yeah.
8 was from Chunibyo.
That's still boring.
9 was from Little Busters.
Stop reading the list. It's just terrible. Like, okay, let me put this.
And Madoka comes in at number 12.
That's not a moving song.
Squid Girl at 14.
Okay. Oh, there's two Squid Girl songs, I should add. There's two Squid Girl.
Oh yeah, they're both 13 and 14. Sorry.
And the list is rounded off with Pokemon.
Yeah, it's rounded.
But here's the kicker. It's not the Pokemon song that you all know and love. Don't Say You Love Me by M2M. You all know that song. Come on.
Yeah, it's
come
not
on.
That
Go
one.
Back to your 90s. You don't know that one. Yeah, they pick some random Pokemon song. This list is bullshit.
Something about the sky or something, yeah.
It's bullshit.
Anyways, I think it's a terrible one. It comes up with that other poll I just saw recently about what anime should you show. What anime do Japanese people think foreigners should watch? And, like, number one was Doraemon.
Well, that one is just, that's a classic, that's why.
It's a classic, but would you really want to, it's like telling your, oh, I guess it's similar to us telling people you should go watch the original G.I. Joe.
Yeah,
in a sense, yeah.
Well, I mean, you watched Bakemonogatari, right, recently?
Yes.
Like, there was a lot of Doraemon references in there.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known.
See, but if you'd watched Doraemon, you would have caught it.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I'll give you that. But yeah, in other words, the list was kind of whatever. It was pretty bad.
Yeah. I mean, Anohana, that's like, I just, it amuses me because every time that song came up, like something bad happened in the show. I can understand why that's on there, but the rest of this, well, Tori no Uta, that's kind of a classic in the sense that that's air, like, you know, the light novel, you know, it's air. Come on now. People cried over air. Let's move on.
Blu-ray sales picking up as usual. So, here's the bottom half of the list.
Yeah, nothing really... Well, okay.
Psycho-Pass Volume 3, although that was its first week. That's not a great first week.
Well, I think it's been fairly average. Like, that's what a lot of people projected it to be at, like, around the 5,000 to 8,000 range. It's doing fine, you know. I mean, it's not selling monster amounts, but at the same time, I don't think you can expect it to sell monster amounts.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm. So, I mean, there's Hyoka, there's Jinrui, like, it's a decent list.
Well, it's going to the top six here.
Yeah, this is where it kicks ass. Sort
of. Now, Girls on Panzer Volume 2, in its first week, we're gonna get proportionally pretty higher, over 20,000, maybe even closer to 25.
So let's put things in perspective. From the past couple of episodes when we did Blu-ray sales, Girls on Panzer was around 24,000-26,000, but that actually was released in December. This was released not even a week ago, 4 days, 5 days for in Japan, 5 days ago, and it already racked up 24,000 on its way to 25. Come on, second season, guys. Come on, like, really.
I think it's going to. I don't. Well,
like, how do you?
We'll have to see how the first season ends and if they leave it at a point where you can build a second season from. I mean, they've had a bunch of time to release the last two episodes. You would think they would close the arc and leave it open ended.
That is true. That is true.
They have to end it in a way that leaves it open for a second season, because if they don't...
Well, so you got two episodes, and you have the finals in the national tournament match. Like if you don't end it with the finals, then clearly people are going to rage. Because there's no way you're going to stretch that out to another season.
Oh, if they don't end it with the finals, people aren't going to buy anything. They're not going to buy into that crap. Yeah. But I would say these top six all deserve to have decent sales. They're all good, decent shows. I don't know anything about the Wolf Children one, but the rest.
You think Horizon is a decent show?
It appeals to a particular fan base that is very adamant about that show, and it's going to sell no matter what.
Okay. What I will say about Horizon is that it has an amusing soundtrack if you listen to it for the first time and you don't listen to it again.
Okay.
That's my only experience with it.
I watched two episodes of the first season.
Yeah, it's so fucking convoluted. I didn't even try.
I think you have to understand the light novel to understand the show, because there's just... Yeah, never mind. We could discuss how there's some definite convoluted things about... Never mind. We'll leave it alone.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think you have to read the light novel or have a lot of backstory to get what's going on.
It's kind of like Mayu.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another one, too. If you don't know anything about Anyways, moving on.
Yep, let's do it.
Oh, Big Globe did another poll for us on the... What is this now? On the Winter 2013, their top 10 shows?
Yeah, so essentially, Big Globe, did a poll with, like, what I think they recorded...
Japanese anime fans, name their...
10,000 plus anime fans, and essentially they racked up, what are your favorite shows this season so far? Here's the top 10. Notice how they only focus specifically on the new shows. So no Psycho Pass, no Sakuraso. This is all the stuff that debuted this season. And for the most part, they have it on the head. Like Chihaya Furu, second season, number one, in its rightful spot.
I'm surprised. Not surprised, Love Live is number two. It appeals to a particular market.
I don't like it. I'm sorry. I tried Love Live and I got bored.
No, what's the Unlimited again?
That's that weird show by Studio Dean. I think it's Studio Dean. It's like, it's a side story of something else. I don't know. It has really pointy chins and a character design.
Is that Zeta Karen Children Unlimited?
Sure. Yes, that one.
That's that one. So yeah. That makes sense. I'm surprised Kotaro-san is number three, though.
Is that too high or too low?
I think it's too high. I expected Tamako Market to be above it. Because Tamako Market's a whole Kiyowani, cute girls doing cute things with nothing else going on kind of show.
Yeah, but people can only handle that for so long.
Well, to be fair, which explains why Vivid Red
is actually fairly low. I think that's unusually low for that list.
It'd be interesting to see what its TV ranking was after that first week and if it's dropped off the radar. Because remember that first week, it had like a 3 rating.
Yeah, I mean, but then again, I mean, there was so much hype about it. It's A1 Pictures. It's the people who did Strike Witches. It's an all-star cast, essentially, of people who are making it. And then, you know, these past few episodes have kind of just dawdled.
I'm surprised Hagen Eye is this high up on the list.
Hagen Eye is actually pretty popular.
It is popular, but I don't think this, I don't know, this season's really odd. It just doesn't seem to flow very well. But it's popular because it makes lewd comments and has high school girls doing...
And those character designs. Those character designs.
Yeah.
Those character designs.
And Urashura, really? Number 9? It's a terrible show.
It's not even that good.
The plot's only average. The girls are terrible. They're not even enjoyable to watch.
Well, let's say that for later. Let's say that for later. But look at it. Like, GJ Club? Okay, I tried GJ Club. I tried it. No. Like, you thought like, Tamako Market was all about cute girls doing nothing? Watch GJ Club.
Really?
You will, like, fucking, like, get an aneurysm off that shit.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm not watching it. But there you go. Top 10 shows. Was it? Anime fans in Japan picked their most satisfying series of the winter 2013
season. Time out. I want to give a shout-out to Hybrid Blood Zacks. Thank you for this correction. Unlimited is done by Manglobe, not Studio Dean, which makes a lot of sense because Manglobe has kind of been dropping the ball lately ever since Kami no Mi season 2. Yeah.
Hopefully we get it. Well, never mind. Manglobe could do decent, but we'll see.
Well, Hayate can't take my eyes off you. Season 2 is starting next season, so good luck with that one.
All right. We're on our progress report card for the season.
All right, let's do it.
So we're going to rate these 5 shows, give them a letter grade from A to F on the show and a particular aspect of the show. You see them?
Well, for the record, in America, there is no E, so it goes A, B, C, D, F.
Okay, for those of you, F is a failing grade. A through D are technically passing grades.
Okay, I was making a joke. Come on. Wait, what is D passing?
I passed a class in college with a D. They didn't make me
No. C for career, no D for degree. That's terrible.
Dude, we'll get into a discussion about why that happened maybe another time. But yes, there were some classes that you just need to get through and get out of.
Okay, yeah, that's true. That is true. I will admit that.
All right, so Tempest. The story in Tempest, what kind of letter grade would we give it? You've got it as high as an A-.
Well, how about you click it? Yeah, there we go. Yeah, I give it an A-. To be honest, there is a fairly interesting setup going on here, right? You have a bunch of magicians going on trying to figure out, the whole chicken, the egg with what's magic, what is science, how are they dealing with this? But the reason why I give it an A- is actually because of the whole side story of the girlfriend or dead girlfriend. So yes, you get your love romance mixing ups situations. But the idea is that, you have this main character who's hell bent on revenge because his sister's dead. Then you have the second main character who is doing essentially the same fucking thing, but not angry, and the girlfriend's dead. It's really weird. I don't know. I just find, the story of the dead girlfriend, who is voiced by Hanakana, because I know Dave wants me to mention it, is just enthralling. I honestly believe that. It's an enthralling story.
I think the story's gotten better in the second half. I guess I don't know if this is going to be more than 24 episodes, but let's say the first 12, it got better as it went early in there. It wasn't all that good. I think it's gotten better since. I gave it a B+ because I think it still has a little bit to go to earn that A grade, even an A-.
I think
you're right, though. It's gotten better, and the story is getting more interesting.
Definitely. Oh, by the way, around where episode 10, where they finally confront Salmon, whatever you want to call him, come on, that was pretty awesome. The whole back and forth confrontation and those facial expressions and those reactions and the purple squiggles, That was excellent, gripping story right there. I think that's, to be honest, for me, that's where it started to peak, and then it went into the decline, and now it's going back up again. It's a great story.
Gotcha. All right, moving on. Robotics notes and the pacing. So,
how about you go first this time?
Well, they both come up at the same time, so everybody's going to see our scores together. But I gave it a B. I think it's been very cyclical. It's had decent pacing, and then it drops off with something ridiculous. Comes back up, goes down. I probably could have gone as low as a C or C+, but I'll give it a B for now. I think it could be... I think it could be better, but it's definitely not a great pacing. They just don't, it's not consistent week to week or even short arc to short arc.
See, that's exactly why I gave it a C+. I will give it though, it is getting better. The last three episodes, their focus has really started narrowing down on the conspiracy.
Yes.
And essentially, it's not that I wanted to focus that on that specifically, I just wanted it to focus in general. Because I'd say around the halfway mark, the show was essentially juggling between conspiracy theory and building robots, and the show had no idea what to focus on. The fact that the events in episode 16, I believe, that's where it started getting heavy. That's all I'll say. That's where it started getting heavy. And once that happened, like, it's clear now that, like, the writers and the director are like, okay, this is what we're going to focus on. Now let's go with this story. That's going to be all about Kai. And it's all about Ike. It's just all there. Like, we now know what's going on.
Yeah. I'll give you that. The last, starting with episode 16, with that sudden event, they finally got some shit together. It's finally getting on track. This last episode made you go, what the hell? So it's finally really gotten into the meat of the story that they've been trying to build up a backstory on for the better part of two seasons now.
Yeah.
And maybe they'll start tying in all these little loose things they've been hinting at into one big finale arc.
That is true. Oh, but by the way, I just want to throw this out there. Episode 16, that was heavy. That was heavy, yo.
I know, we already ruined it for a couple people. We got to keep our mouths shut.
That was heavy, yo.
All right, next one up. Koto Ra-san. The drama.
Drama.
Drama. Yeah. I gave it a C.
I gave it a B-.
Basically the same thing.
I think you're too harsh.
I think the drama isn't very doesn't what drama they're trying to build up isn't done very well. Nah, so it's a C to me. I have nothing much more to say on that.
See, you say it's not done well. I say it's taking its sweet ass time and very short intervals. So this is the unusual thing about Katora-san is that there's a conflict and it's literally resolved two episodes later. It's really unusual. Usually you don't get that in a story, especially what's supposed to be like a comedy as well, where essentially like Katora has a problem, she works with her friends to fix the problem, and then everything's happy-go-lucky, and then they just move on. And so like they keep trying to like the drama isn't as heavy as like the first episode because it never will be. It never will be. But at the same time, like it's an actual complete story, but something that you would usually expect to be dragged on for 12 episodes instead of limited to two. So the fact that it's its own complete package, the fact that it can do a climax and a resolution very, very condensed, I think that's applaudable, to be honest. Yes. Good job.
Hmm. I don't know. I think some of that stems from it being a four coma. It's really not... I don't know. I watch it because it's enjoyable, but you're right. The drama and it's not.
It's completely
unbelievable.
Drama. Well, there's a bunch of things that are unbelievable in this. But to be honest, like it is a complete story. It's something that most shows can't do. To be honest, like hate to rag on it, but like soccer, so like it does have an interesting story. It does have interesting characters, but it doesn't really do a good job of like you know. Actually trying to tell a story. So, yeah. All right, let's move on.
All right. Next one. Orishura and its shipping capabilities. I gave it a D. You just failed it miserably.
I just gave it an F. This show sucks at shipping. You know, this show just sucks in general. I'm sorry. Like, I'm watching it. I want to like it. I can't like it. Like, in the beginning, I was sort of compelled by Chiwa, but after a while, I just don't care. Silver's a bitch, Chiwa's loud, Hime is just fucking makes no sense. And then, you know, you get Pink, and I was kind of hoping that she would fix it, and no. I'm done. I'm not dropping it, I'm keep going, but I'm just saying, I watched for the shipping, there's no ships at all. This is like Germany of like World War One shipping.
Right? I don't follow shipping all that much. There's none of these characters I would even put together. You know what I mean? For me, so it's just kind of even the last girl they introduced, the redhead. There was potential, Pink. She's kind of a miserable failure.
She's not. It's not. And it, the worst part is
like the worst tropes. The worst tropes you could put into this girl they've made. They've put in there. It's just horrible.
Worst tropes and tsundere are two different things. But yes,
tsundere is a trope. It is a meme, whatever you want
to
call
it. No, I said worst trope and tsundere are two different things.
Sorry, how about this? She's a cliche character where they've played up one character trait over and above.
Did we just lose the screen? Never mind. Sorry.
No, we've just played up that one character trait, cliched it to the max, and that's what she is.
It doesn't matter if you're cliched to the max. You can do it right, and it still be enjoyable.
But it's not done right.
Exactly. That's why it gets an F. Also, for the record, okay, shipping works in more than one way. Like, you need great female cast. You also need a great male cast to pair them to. And that male lead is shit. I'm sorry, he is shit. He is whiny. He is just so fucking annoying. He's actually worse than the lead in soccer, so, and that means a fucking lot. Like, it's, I don't know. I'm sick of it. Like, there's nothing going on. There's no romance. That nothing's compelling. And Silver's a bitch.
Moving on.
Hands up. I'm done.
The comedy in Hog and I, we both agree that it's just kind of a C. It's mediocre.
Yeah, that is true.
While they're focusing on some funny things with some of the characters, as a whole, it's just not very funny. It's not week to week making me laugh like the first season did.
Yeah. See, here's the thing, though. It's really weird for you to say that, because I actually do think that season two is an improvement over season one.
I think it is in some aspects, but not from a comedy perspective.
Well, to be honest, I really don't remember the comedy in season one. This one I can still get through and I would be okay, you know? Like, I mean, I'm not on the floor laughing. This isn't Mondaiji. That's a different story. Nothing could be Mondaiji at this point. Yeah. Like, but what I'm just saying is that, like, Hog and I Next, like, it has the elements that make something funny, but it's, I don't know, there's just something about it that can't make me like it. Like, I do agree that, like, some of the Rika scenes, they are amusing.
She's
like,
hilarious.
She is pretty funny.
They drop the glasses, let her hair down. She's funny.
She's the best girl. Like, that's all you need to know, right?
Yep.
But, yeah, it's just something about me. There's something about Yozora. Like, I can't connect with them. And they introduce new characters, and they're not really adding anything new to it. I don't know. It's enough to make me keep watching, but then again, I'm also watching Orishura, so meh.
Yeah. So, guys, our report card basically says, other than Tempest, nothing else is keeping... Well, other than Tempest and maybe robotics notes, nothing's really keeping up.
No, I think you're just the asshole teacher who has, like, that 5% get the A's and then everyone else get B's and C's. I think that's what you are.
Well, the bottom two in this were definitely nothing better than a C. And Tempest is decent. I'll give you that. Tempest is A grade for the most part as a whole.
Okay, yeah.
Notes is a solid B. Could be better. If it had the pacing up, it could be better. But we're on there. Kotaro-san, I think we're both
on the
in
fence.
Agreement. On the fence, yeah. The next two, though, we're both in agreement. Epic fails.
Yep.
All right. Final thoughts, Arrow.
Final thoughts.
Go into why you're so excited tonight. Well, I've held you back for 45 minutes.
I was so fucking excited. Actually, 10 minutes where those were technical issues. I was so fucking excited that I actually broke the internet. All right. Here's this thing, guys. I'm going to post this YouTube link in the social stream. There you go. You know what that is? Do you know what that is? That is the fifth preview for Project Nana. Or Prism Nana, sorry. Like, this shit is just, I don't know. Shaft is great. I like magical girl shows. Like, I'm excited. Like, I'm flat out fucking excited. Like, this show is gonna be awesome. And I'm just gonna keep hyping myself up for disappointment. Anyways.
You keep doing it.
Okay, first of all, you don't sound intrigued by the show at all.
I don't have any shit to say. I just don't think it. I think the previews don't give you enough to go on yet. Like, this last preview really showed a bunch of girls doing performing stuff, idol type activities. So you got to figure out how that's going to play into this whole magical girl stuff. And are they magical girl idols? Is this some sort of Pretty Cure knockoff? You know, what the heck's going on?
I mean, it's pretty obvious what it is, though. Like, it's a magical girl show. I mean, if you looked at the other fucking trailers, you know it's a magical girl show. Like, the name fucking says it's a magical girl show. Like, have you ever thought that, like, when they transform into these magical beings that can play instruments? Did that ever occur to you?
So it's like a Symphogear knockoff?
You can't call Symphogear what? This man right here. Holy shit. Like, for reals.
Well, come on, man. It's 5 30-second previews. You know nothing yet.
Of course we know nothing about it, but it doesn't mean I can't get excited over it.
No, I'm just saying, I guess, what's the right phrase? Curb your enthusiasm?
Yeah, you know, I get that. But what I'm saying is that I'm fucking excited. Look, okay, everything about it just points to it being fun. I'm not saying it's going to be the greatest thing ever. I'm not going to say that it's like the new Madoka or the new Evangelion or whatever bullshit thing you want to throw out there. I'm just saying it looks fun. When I point out something fun, I've never been wrong. Last time I said Mount Daiji, remember, I called it in the previews. I said that was going to be fun. I'm having a fucking blast. I think this show's going to be fun.
All right. Fair enough. Not going
to... And let me get my second shout out there. Okay. That was one. All right. So number two going in the social stream. Give me a second because this one's also pretty awesome. All right. You got this guy right here. Makinko. I'm sorry. I probably butchered his name. This guy does a bunch of mashups. Actually, it's a bunch of cool mashups. Joe, I think you should actually take a look at this because what he does is pretty awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, got famous on the scene with this whole mashup of Wiz and Hitamari, you know, black and yellow. And he actually released a new one recently, Poolside Identity, which is Chunibyo cross Kendrick Lamar. Like, come on, it's pretty kick-ass. This guy's dope as hell. Other awesome works include Platinum Disco, by the way. That's probably my favorite one. Like, his shit is so fucking ill. Like, it's fucking fantastic. Everyone should listen to it. This guy right here, if he listens to me, I would be impressed. I want to praise you, dude. Thank you so fucking much for this. Salamat po, man. You're my dog. Like, keep making more.
I really don't have anything to say. I'm two weekends behind after working and whatnot, so I've got a lot of things to catch up on. I finally caught up with Robo Notes and JoJo, which JoJo is falling into a predictable pattern of some things, but that's not a bad deal.
Yeah.
It was great. I thought the last two episodes were a lot of fun to watch. I don't know. I'm just kind of blah about things right now. Nothing's really getting me fired up.
Well, I did mention this earlier, way earlier. Yoga Dog, just work on your backlog.
I am.
We have a fantastic season of Chihaya Furu going on right now, and you still haven't seen the first one.
Well, I got to finish the Monogataris first before I'm doing anything else.
Okay. And what happened to the Idolmasters?
It's there.
Okay, I will let you...
I've got it downloaded. It's floating around. I've got it.
I will let you put Idolmaster on hold if you would watch Chihaya Furu. Get caught up in Chihaya Furu.
All right, we'll see. I've got a bunch of travel coming up in the next couple of months. I'll have plenty of time sitting in a hotel room to do nothing more than just watch anime. So
exactly. Dude, all I'm saying is you and me, from one sports fan to another, you will dig Chihaya Furu.
I'm not saying it's a terrible show, but when you start classifying it as a sports anime, you worry me.
Okay, there's an old podcast, Friday Anime Podcasts, Otakon and Olympics. That one, I have been on there. I think the other guy is Sushi Gokart. I believe that's him. No, or someone else. I forgot. Anyways, we go on the show and we discuss Chihaya Furu and how it's actually a great sports anime. Just saying that. Like, talk to anyone who's seen it. They will tell you it's a good sports anime.
All right.
I'll go for it. Yeah, I've been working on my backlog. Cardcaptor Sakura, that shit is pretty good.
Really?
Yeah. Like, if you think about it, it's been, what, 15 years since I last saw that show? 1998? It's been 15 fucking years.
Hey, 98 was a great year for anime. We can go into that another time.
Yeah, that was a great year. So, you know, I'm watching Cardcaptor Sakura. I like my Magical Girl show. I like that more than Precure. Just throwing that out there.
Sounds good. All right. Some announcements. Hey, our contest is still going on. I'll bring it to the top of the blog, but design a logo. If you haven't been there yet, like I said, I'll bring the post to the top. I'll do that right now while we're talking. Go ahead, check it out. Submit a logo. We've extended the deadline another month to give people a chance to submit some stuff. There is a gift card, Amazon gift card, for those who win.
Yo, guys, I'm giving you money to draw something.
Yes.
Do it.
Exactly.
I am paying you, essentially.
I'm not asking you guys to do it for free. I will give you an Amazon gift card for being the winner of the contest.
That is money.
Otherwise, I think we may have a default winner if nobody else puts a logo in.
Well, if you look at the top and the header, that's my logo.
That's your submission?
Well, that's for Anime Autolog.
True, but that's what you're going to make for your submission? So we have two entries. Aeroblip is throwing down the gauntlet and saying, do better than me.
I mean, that took me 2 minutes. And that's just because Google was just being funky. That's it. come on, guys. Step up.
Yes. So, please, give us something to vote on and win.
Do it now.
Do it now. I may even give out auxiliary prizes. I've got some manga, some first edition manga I got from Tokyo Pop a while back. Maybe I can throw those in as a runner-up prize. I think I've got
a lot of
Soul Eater and a couple others. Heck, I even have a Naruto t-shirt I won from Viz. I've never worn. It just sits there in my drawer. I'll give that out.
That's a really nice dust rag. You should use it.
I should, but it doesn't. I'm a little tall for it. It's supposed to design fit somebody who's a little shorter.
That's why I said dust rag.
Might fit you. Might fit you, Blip.
What? How small do you think I am?
I don't know.
No. Give me a size. How small do you think I am?
Well, you are Filipino, right?
Half, and no one knew about that until now, but okay.
Well, sorry. We've already had that discussion, remember? Because we talked about your new avatar that AJ the Fourth drew for you.
Yes, that is true. All right, fine, whatever.
Whether you say Filipino or not, there you go. You're darker skinned, half Asian. I figured you're no taller than 5'8".
Fuck you, dude. Anyways.
Well, am I right?
No.
You're taller than 5'8"?
Yes.
Oh, well, okay.
Fuck you, dude.
What, man?
Look at this weeboo over here with the fucking Naruto t-shirt. Everyone point and laugh at Joe.
Hey, I won it in some sort of contest. It fits my kid more than it fits me, probably. But hey, I never
you kept it. That's a thing.
Like, well, oh, whatever. What was I supposed to do with it? I won it. It's like, okay, I'll take it.
Sell it. Use it as a dust rag.
Sell it as a, yeah, it's a $1 t-shirt. I'm really going to sell it. Anyway, so design.
Dude, there's fucking nerds at the convention you went to.
I didn't get it at a convention. It was like a Twitter thing. You just replied back to, it was part of an overall contest. You said, hey, Viz, I want to win some crap. And they picked some winners. I ended up with a t-shirt.
Okay.
I didn't go to convention for that. Good grief. I would not buy a Naruto t-shirt at a convention. Please. Please, more respect for me than that.
So you would go to a Hot Topic for a Naruto t-shirt then? That's how you roll?
I haven't been in Hot Topic since I was like 15.
That's what, 30 years, 40 years?
You know, we're not going there.
What's up? Step up, Grandpa. Let's do it.
In addition, yesterday featured the first episode of a brand new live streaming show here.
Yep.
On the Clock, featuring Kevo and Akira. Hopefully you guys caught it yesterday. It was at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. It was about 30 minutes long, their normal podcast length. I got to catch it for about 10 minutes. It sounded great. It sounded like they were having fun. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it as well. Every Monday night, starting at 10 p.m. Eastern, same location as this show. So tune in, have some fun. They don't do as much crowd interaction as we do. They just kept rocking the topics and going right through it. So,
yeah, we really haven't been talking much to the crowd today. My bad.
I've been watching. You won't want to read anything from Cure Fosh, though.
Why?
Foshizzle's starting to fight.
No. Cure Fosh is my nigga. Like, look at all those comments. Arrow, you're the best. Mundaiji's awesome. Like,
Arrow, you're 5 foot five and a half. You're 5 foot five.
Oh, I thought he was saying he was 5 foot five.
I thought he was saying you're 5 foot five.
Oh.
He put you 3 inches shorter than where I put you at.
Well, still, Cure Fosh is my nigga, dude.
So yeah, check it out. Mondays, 10 p.m. Eastern, guys. It's great. It's a lot of fun. So that all gets rolled into a podcast later in the week as well. So check it out.
Yep.
Other than that, you can find us at animeaudiolog.wordpress.com, podcast feeds at iTunes, videos at YouTube, and we're still working on special guests coming up, so check it out.
Yep. Oh, by the way, let us know how you like the new design. I personally designed it myself. I spent about 15 hours.
15 minutes.
Dude, are you serious? No, dude, this is like, it took forever to get this all lined up, dude. Chrome, okay, let me say this right now. All y'all haters need to stop hating on Microsoft Office because PowerPoint is actually pretty fucking awesome to work with.
Yes.
It's actually really good when it comes to lining shit up. Doing this in Chrome is a pain in the ass.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible.
It's pretty fucking terrible.
But
that's what you get for free.
But we're in the process of, after a verbal beatdown from one of our fellow bloggers at Anime Audio Log, we're in the process of probably updating the color theme to make it pop out more from the screen. But I think I like the format as well. We'll probably stick to this as we're going forward, and we'll just change the colors up, freshen it up a bit.
Yep.
All right, guys. From...
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Friday anime podcast later on this week. Go over to Desu Ex Machina, which is run by my boss, Kevo.
Yep.
And please tell him that I sent you. That way he won't fire me.
Uh-oh.
I'm just going to throw that out there. I don't want to be fired.
So, guys, thanks for joining us. Have a good night.
Prism Nana. Peace out.
Later.